You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Skirt, Matt Wilhelm, hour number two of our show today. And before we go back to phone lines, let's hear a little bit from the Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Sashi Brown. I thought this was interesting. This is a guy who's seen a lot of drafts, observed them in his time in Jacksonville, 8 years. He's been with the Browns now 3 years. What did you take from your previous draft experiences that you can use now that you are the head guy?
Stay calm and keep an open mind, and then make great decisions. You know, go into the draft knowing the players that you want, have conviction, and don't worry about what might have been, but just make the best possible decision for yourself, and try to stay as calm as you can. Be prepared for every scenario that might come up, and that's what we're going through now. These last couple of days for us are really about, you know, testing ourselves if so-and-so calls or if this player is no longer available, and making sure that we have a good understanding of how we'll react, how we think about it, what choices we want to make, and what trade-offs those opportunities, pros and cons, provide for us.
And that's what they're doing now, going through simulations. I know they had an exhaustive day of that yesterday, an exhaustive day of that today, preparing for every possible scenario for this draft so that they can stay calm and make those right decisions. And again, it will be Sashi Brown making the final decisions. Sashi has been working very closely with Andrew Berry, who is in charge of the player personnel, the top scout, if you will, for the Cleveland Browns, the scouting department, Paul D. Podesta, the chief strategy officer, Ken Kovach, who's in charge of the football information side of things, and, of course, head coach Hugh Jackson. But it is Sashi's call at the end of the day on all matters that happen over the next 3 days for the Cleveland Browns. All right, one thing I also wanted to get from Sashi here was, at what point did the Browns realize they had to change their focus from quarterback at number two overall to now making this trade with Philly and focusing on the rest of the draft and their strategy?
You know, really from the time we started, we really did have a sense that, you know, there's the potential that someone else likes these quarterbacks more than we do. And that's without any, you know, disparagement of their skills or passing judgment on them. It's just, we know people love quarterbacks. We also knew there were a bunch of other players at the top of the draft that we did, you know that there were teams that would have interest. So we always contemplate at the outset, really, or early in January when we were at the Senior Bowl, could be teams that would have interest in moving up. And that's when we started hearing from teams. You know, what are you guys going to do at two? Would you have interest in moving back? So, you know, you want to be thorough on every player because you're not sure what scenario is going to come up in any given year. And we've certainly done that, so we weren't panicked at all when things started heating up at two to slide back. And we love the position we're in at eight. So you'll feel like we'll be in position to get a really talented player.
And they will be. They'll be in a position to either get a talented player or get a haul for one if a team wants to move up there and the Browns want to move back just a little bit. And I think they are going to go ahead. It'll be interesting to see the offers they feel. I think they're going to have an opportunity to get that blue chip player or get a haul for him and get, hopefully, the top receiver on their board. Let's go to Pumpkinhead now. Pumpkinhead.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to say happy Christmas Eve. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But much like Larry McPuntle's stepdad, if the Browns draft an offensive or defensive lineman, I, too, am going to have emotional distress.
Yes, it would be tremendously distressing.
So anyways, I think that the choice has got to be best player available at number eight. If he's there, it's got to be Zeke. If you know, I completely expect a trade down, and I would be okay with that, but if they're going to trade down, go get the very best receiver in this draft.
Yeah, I think, and ultimately, I mean, again, we don't know, but that would be my goal for it if the Browns were to make such a move. Let's go to Jim in Toronto.
It's long-time listener, first-time caller. Just an idea I've been thinking about. I know you're both against drafting one of the tackles as a right tackle, but what would you think about, do you think there's any chance that they would consider drafting him as a left tackle and then trying to trade Thomas on draft day? Is there any chance of something, like, does that happen? Are there draft day trades of players, and what do you think that they might be able to get for? If they could get a second this year and maybe a high pick next year, you know, if they think that one of those tackles could be his replacement, maybe it's a way to get younger position. And it's almost like a trade down because then they're getting a, you know, a young player and a couple of picks. One, throw that out there.
I don't know what the value is for Joe Thomas right now. I think his value is going to be highest in the season because the team knows it's a contender and thinks that he's the difference between winning and losing a Super Bowl. I would only be okay with that if the trade for Joe Thomas was already done and they had that number one
the
pick
picks,
already
not on the
there.
Cuff.
Not yet. Not maybe we can get it. I would have to have that be done. Otherwise, I think you're just taking – if you did that, you're just taking a tackle. Ugh. My thoughts. Nick in Independence. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, man.
I think we need to shed some love on the Buckeyes in this draft. I think at 8, you know, like, let's keep our players in our state. You look at Pittsburgh. They're drafting these Ohio State players. You look at, you know, in 2014, imagine this. I'm a sports management degree right now. I'm going towards it. And I'm looking at this in a GM spot in 2014. I said, at 8, let's get Bridgewater. We trade it back. And I was thinking, you know, what if we would have got, like, a Jarvis Landry in the 3rd instead of trading up for a Terrence West? We're just missing these players. And Corey Coleman, okay, also, this needs to be said. He is not Odell Beckham. Let's slow the roll on this. He ran 5 routes in college. Odell Beckham ran some slants. He ran goes.
Odell Beckham wasn't even the best receiver on his team.
That's the bit. He had injury questions, but he was definitely the high flyer in that offense with Mettenberger. And Landry was more of the possession, too.
Yep.
They and their offensive line couldn't handle that, the pressure in the SEC at that time with Alabama. And I don't think that Corey Coleman's great. You know, I think he's definitely a guy, if you get at 32, amazing pick. I really, truly think that. But I think they really messed up by missing on Carson Wentz at 2. I don't want to bring this back up, but, you know, if we're looking for a quarterback, we're resulting in Hackenberg, who is terrible.
I don't look at it that way. First of all, I think that you're looking at RG3 in that vein for this season, who's a guy that you have to at least say has as good a chance of being successful as a guy coming from the FCS level, given that he's already been the Rookie of the Year in the NFL and the Heisman Trophy winner, taking a team to the playoffs. All right, when we come back, we'll continue the phone calls, 216-578-0850. Coming up at 2:30, the professor, John Clayton from ESPN, for the very latest on what he's hearing about this draft. That's coming your way at 2:30 here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Just one day away from the start of the 2016 NFL Draft. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, and Elk and Elk Serious Lawyers for Serious Injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! 216-578-0850. That's the way to get on board with us right now. Again, 216-578-0850. We got anybody on the lines right now, Gibbs?
No.
Nobody wants to talk about the Browns. We have solved it. We've solved it all. Trade down. Take a great defender at 8 if they're there. If not, you trade back.
Get a good wide receiver.
I do have Twitter mailbag questions.
Oh, it is mailbag Wednesday.
It is mailbag Wednesday.
Sure, sure.
Brian Vaughn tweets at the show. Ask Matt which is a bigger nightmare for him. O-line at 8.
This is a great one. That's our guy, the real BV. That's who sent the Heward Older shirt.
Would you even ask?
What is the bigger nightmare? O-line at 8, QB Cook in round 1, or a loss to the Panthers on Saturday?
Oh. Geez. This is tough. Loss to the Panthers, number 1, clearly. I'd be severely disappointed if we went offensive line at 8, and I would have to say Connor Cook in the first round would be wrapping up third place.
Okay.
I might put Connor Cook number 2.
For me, it would be O-lineman 1, Panthers 2, Connor Cook 3. What are you bumping?
Who, me?
Yeah, what are you bumping for to put Connor Cook up there?
I'll go Panthers.
Yeah.
I'm not really concerned about the draft. Maybe I should be.
But you have a lot of faith in Sasha Brown.
At this point, we're literally starting at the bottom.
See, you're right.
Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And thank I think the reason why I'm not stressed either is with what might be available at 8, I'm now more comfortable at 8 than I was, say, Monday, Friday, Thursday, with the scenarios that come out almost daily with the players that may be available at 8.
I mean, to me, they can't mess this up.
It's been done before. So.
I know, but I'm saying, at least from my standpoint, until it gets proven to be messed up.
Correct.
As long as they don't draft an offensive lineman, they can take anybody
right.
or trade back, and I'll be happy.
And as Gibbs said, you know, starting from nothing per se, I like the 12 picks. And I believe I could say that what we do with 8 and 32 will truly set the tempo for what we do throughout the remainder of the draft.
I think it is more likely that we pick. I think it's more likely that we don't pick at 8 or 32 than it is that we pick at both 8 and 32.
Couple more questions here, guys. From the Menudo Man, what do you think of Ohio State players Von Bell and Tyus Powell? Do you see a fit with the Browns for either one of those guys?
Von Bell's been linked to Denver in multiple mock drafts at 31. Yep. I think last couple days, one of the draft analysts had, you know, had him going, you know, sneaking into the first round as an impactful safety. Another team that Von Bell could go play for, I think, is Baltimore with their early second round pick. You know, to maybe to add him as an heir apparent to Eric Weddle, who they just just signed. And Tyus Powell, big physical, rangy guy. Not a lot of buzz around him, so I would say he's probably a third or fourth round pick.
Not a lot of buzz around him at all. Not at all.
Oh, let's see.
All right, we got some phone calls here as well.
Autry Monster, by the way, also says draft Mo Pedman and line him up next to Shelton.
Here we go, Brownies. Nobody would get the – what you'd have to do is draft him next – put him next to Shelton and then have the – you know, you can always see the big board from the field.
You would need a sundial to run around those two.
Throw like – if you threw like a pizza up there – Mo Pedman would burst through that line.
That is
a picture of pizza.
You want to talk about advertising on
Oh my God!
Or put like the Papa John's logo on like the goalpost pad, and have him play fullback. You know, and have a runner behind him. He would mow down everything in his path.
One other one, real quick, guys. This is from our good friend Weimer 19. Browns taking O line at 8 or waiting in line at a Chipotle when you could use the app. What's worse? I debated this with you, Nathan Zagura.
O-lineman, way worse.
I think waiting in line.
Waiting in line, that ruined one day of mine. If the Browns took an offensive lineman at 8 overall, that would ruin multiple days of mine.
It would ruin years of your life.
Potentially. It's got that kind of potential. Chipotle doesn't have that kind of potential. All right, 216-578-0850, Scott in Worcester. Scott.
Hey, guys, enjoy the show.
Thank you, man.
Very much.
Hey, is there any possibility here that the Browns could swap first-round picks with the Jets and maybe get Mo Wilkerson and pick up that wide receiver we're lacking at 20?
So I do think it is possible to trade with the Jets, who many say covet Paxton Lynch. Getting Muhammad Wilkerson, I just don't know that the Browns would take on that contract at this point, given that he's a defensive lineman in his second contract, and his studies have shown, significant studies have shown, that you rarely get value out of a defensive lineman in his second contract. Now, obviously, there are exceptions to every rule, but that's one of the reasons that I think the Browns weren't as into a guy like Ndamukong Suh when he hit the market, and I think that Miami right now would probably wishes they didn't sign Ndamukong Suh at that point. So I don't see that being something that they would do. It certainly is possible. I don't see that being something that the Browns would be exploring at this point. Now, if they could get them to throw in Devin Smith, that might be something the Browns would be more into.
Okay, thanks.
All right, you got it. Let's go to Bill in Brooklyn. Brooklyn.
Hey, fellas. Great show today.
Thanks, brother.
I'm the guy that said Matt stole his take on Corey Coleman. I tweeted at you before a show. I think that he's so similar to Odell. And you can't get that kind of explosion later in the draft. It's so hard to find that kind of guy, I feel.
Yeah.
When you can get a Laquon Treadwell type guy in like Tyler Boyd or Jerome Peake, like those kind of guys, the big body guys that are like, you know, can snatch the ball up, you can find those guys later. I just think Coleman at the top of the, you know, trade back, you know, 13, 15, pick up, you know, 45 or 47 from the Rams. That they got, or from the Titans that they got in the Rams trade, and you can get another guy, you know, like Hunter Henry and fill a huge, you know, pass-catching tight end spot. Or, you know, the possibilities are endless. It's going to be incredibly difficult for these guys to mess this up. You know, and last year I feel that there was no direction, you know, from the front office. I'm so confident in these guys. There is a room full of smart guys that I really have a lot of faith in these guys to really get this right.
As do I. And this isn't a group of smart guys that are trying to prove that they're smart. They're just trying to make the best decisions they can for this organization. They're not trying to outsmart anybody. They're just trying to do what they think is right and bring the best possible talent here to the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, but like this year, I feel they have a plan. There's a game plan. They're going to stick to the game plan, and they're going to do what's best for the organization. You know, whereas last year we had no clue. We had no clue looking at what going into the draft week, and we got, you know, two fat guys.
Well, thank you very much for the call. And Nathan, as he talked about wide receivers, how different in size and speed are Laquon Treadwell and Leonte Carew?
In terms of size and speed?
In terms of size and speed. And I know Leonte Carew has the knock against the off-the-field stuff. But from a production standpoint, where does he come into play?
He was very productive.
I think
his talent-wise, he would be a guy that if there weren't the issues, he's a guy that would be looked at certainly earlier in this draft. All right, so let me try to answer your question here real quickly for
you. No problem.
In terms of size and speed, now, I don't know if they're going to have Treadwell's pro day up here, but size and speed, he ran a 4.6 40. Laquon Treadwell first.
Okay.
All right, 6'2", 220,
okay.
3.8-inch arms, 9.5 hands, 4.6 40 on the pro day, but a fast 10-yard of 1.64.
Okay.
And then for Leonte Carew, who is right here, Leonte Carew is 6'2", 12", so a little bit shorter.
Okay.
4.5 40, 1.55, 10-yard dash. Bigger hand, longer arm, shorter arm, bigger hand, but similar. But this is a guy who averaged 19.7 yards a catch in 2014, 20.7 yards a catch in 2015 while at Rutgers. All right, we're going to take a break, but they're similar. They could fill similar roles. I think Carew's perhaps a little bit more explosive, not nearly as polished or strong or physically dominant as Laquon Treadwell. When we come back, the professor, John Clayton, will be with us from ESPN with the latest he's hearing on the 2016 NFL Draft.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, very happy to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline because class is in session with the professor, John Clayton from ESPN, who joins us now. Of course, John will be co-hosting ESPN Radio's NFL Draft coverage starting Thursday at 7 and Friday at 6:30. John, thanks for being with us today.
Happy to be with you.
All right, John, what is the latest you're hearing? Any good stuff about maybe the Browns or the top part of this draft right now?
Well, I mean, as far as the most interesting thing is, you know, you can see the squirming down in Miami of what to do if Ezekiel Elliott doesn't fall down to number 13. I would imagine that, you know, they're going to be very active calling Cleveland. I don't think they can really call up to the Dallas Cowboys to try to do something, but I think you can see that's probably the next team that could make that trade-up move. And so now the argument's going to be, you know, do you want the Ohio State running back to be the running back for the Cleveland Browns, or do you want a third-round pick or some other value to be able to have him go down and go to the Miami Dolphins and go to number 8? So that's kind of, I think, the debate right now. I mean, you know, the Sashi Browns already said there's probably one player that may fall down to number 8 that would cause them to stay. But the question is, who is that one player? Is it Joey Bosa? Is it DeForest Buckner? Is it Ezekiel Elliott? That part hasn't slipped out. I don't know. Any suggestions on that one?
No, you know, I think when we talk about it, we've talked through the scenario many, many times, it seems that there's somewhat of a consensus now on the top 7, now that Ronnie Stanley seems to have cemented himself in that group, that the Browns will be looking at Elliott and then either Jack or Buckner at 8. And I think if Buckner's there, I would jump all over him. I wonder if the analytics-driven model that the Browns are employing along with their traditional scouting would say that a running back – has the value to be picked with your most precious commodity being the eighth pick overall in the draft?
Yeah, and I think that is a big question because, I mean, you know, I guess first you have to evaluate, is he the best running back since Adrian Peterson? Todd Gurley was, you know, thought last year to be the best running back to come into the league since Adrian Peterson, and he proved that he's got a great career ahead. Now, is Ezekiel Elliott better than Todd Gurley or not better? And remember, Todd Gurley went 10, and that was ironically on a trade-up that the Rams made to be able to get him. But, you know, it's, you know, the one thing I think that you're seeing, and that does devalue the chance of a running back maybe going as high as 8, unless you're a team like Miami that may want to move up to do it, is the fact that, you know, you pretty much may have a chance to get him to a second contract, but, you know, are you going to be able to get the full 8 years? Because the way I look at running backs right now, and you've seen it now since 2008, it's hard for a running back to get 10,000 yards because, you know, you can see as you get to the end of that second contract, they're looking to get rid of you. You've already missed some games. You're only getting 20 carries. You're getting less than 20 carries a game. I mean, last year there was only 7 1,000-yard running backs, and a lot of them were undrafted guys.
Right, and you know, that's a very good point you bring up, is that there are very few teams that feel like paying a running back for the reason you just mentioned. Thomas Rawls steps in. They don't miss a beat in Seattle. In fact, he outperformed Marshawn Lynch last year. C.J. Anderson was an undrafted free agent who was very instrumental in certainly 2014. And then, of course, the Super Bowl win for the Denver Broncos. You look at Jamal Charles getting hurt in Kansas City and Charkandrick West and Spencer Ware step up. And so you wonder if that's the kind of investment this team would be willing to make. And my question for you is, if the Browns side, they aren't and they do move back because somebody covets Elliott, say it is the Miami Dolphins, what's that kind of compensation look like? I know Mike Tannenbaum sometimes can go ahead and give things away there, and I'm sure the Browns would want to exploit that.
Yeah, it's either a third or a four. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a second. That just unless it's going to be some quarterback involved, which of course in this case it's not. But I mean, you look at some of the trades that have been made up. I mean, you know, last year it was only two trades total in the draft, in first round of the draft. I mean, there's always going to be a lot of other trades, but I mean, you look through the last history and pretty much it was. Like, for example, 14-6, that's St. Louis back in 2012. That was a second-round pick. So, you know, 13-8 is probably going to only net, I would say, a third-round pick at best. And so now the debate's going to be, do you trade out knowing there's a chance that maybe somebody in your top seven is going to fall to you? Like, for example, it's DeForest Buckner. I'd say, no, there's no way.
Right.
I think the problem, if, you know, Laramie Studstill comes over, I mean, are you really taking him to be a right tackle? Because if that's the case, then why isn't Mitchell Schwartz on this team? You know, is he that much better than Mitchell Schwartz at the right tackle position, particularly knowing that he's been a left tackle? So you start to wonder about that. So it's a debatable issue right now as far as a trade down. But, you know, in a draft that's supposedly pretty deep, a third-round pick's there. But I get a little concerned out of trading out of 8 unless the top 7 guys go and you don't have the same grade on Ezekiel Elliott as being done by the Miami Dolphins.
John, a very interesting name that's rising up many draft boards and walking in here to the Dog Bowl in Berea was the New Orleans Saints and Paxton Lynch. Is that the most likely or highest position Paxton Lynch can go? And does he, if he doesn't go to the Saints, could he drop to the Bills or Jets at 19-20?
Yeah, I definitely see that happening because the feeling I get is that the Browns aren't high on taking him at number 8, and I pretty much have heard the same thing out of San Francisco. So if that's the case, then the temptation is going to be there, you know, for the New Orleans Saints to draft a quarterback of the future, or do you come back and just take a defensive tackle like Sheldon Rankins? You know, I think that's going to be the issue that they're going to have. And, you know, there are a lot of people around the league and maybe in the building think they may just go for Paxton Lynch. And, you know, understand what the scenario is as far as the quarterbacks of the future. Okay, once the trade was made with Cleveland and Howie Roseman, what I did is I looked at the next 3 years, and you can see there's a big problem trying to get that quarterback of the future.
Sure.
For example, the top 10 quarterbacks who are seniors next year are all spread or air raid, with the best of them probably being Jim Kelly's nephew, who's at Ole Miss in a spread offense. Then you only have one pro set quarterback, that's Brad Aiea out of Miami,
right,
coming through in the next 2 years. He's a 218 quarterback Mack will probably turn pro next year. You know, Deshaun Watson seems to be the best of the group, but he's a spread quarterback coming out of Clemson. And then you start talking Washington State quarterbacks and things like that. So, you know, it's going to be hard to project these guys because there's only 1 in 2 years that projects to be a pro-style quarterback. And so if you take this quarterback of the future to replace a 37-year-old quarterback by going with Paxton Lynch, you know, in a year or 2 years, however long you want it, then you may have that good quarterback of the future that may be better than some of the guys coming through.
Yeah, it certainly will be interesting to see how that goes. And let me ask you from the Browns perspective, I kind of consider, I'm looking at RG3 as the Browns rookie this year and their swing at the plate. And what did you think of that signing, and what do you think about his prospects?
I thought the signing was fine. I mean, the concern I have is that it's almost putting everything on him to be able to do well. And if it doesn't do well, I mean, I don't know if Josh McCown's going to be able to make it to the start of the regular season, if they stay with him or not. And so that's what you worry about. It's like, you know, the Redskins obviously went all in on RG3, and you saw it worked for 1 year, and it didn't work for three, and they parted, and now he's there. The price, I think, was fine. I mean, 2 years, $15 million, that's not a big deal. But, you know, putting everything on RG3, I mean, if it doesn't work, then that's going to be a bad thing because, I mean, who's going to be there to pick it up and make it better?
That's a great point, John.
Well, I guess the thinking would be if it's that bad that you're going to be picking so early in 2017 that hopefully somebody will come along that you want to make your franchise quarterback.
But then the judgment right. has to be made. Okay, Kirk. Is Deshaun Watson better than the two quarterbacks going at the top of this draft, I mean, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz? That's, you know, in the opinion of Howie Roseman, who made that trade, he thinks they are. Now, if you know, Watson is better than the other two, then it's going to be fine. But, of course, what you don't want to have is, you know, going through a season where it very well could be the top pick for the Cleveland Browns. You hope to avoid that.
Yeah, I wanted Goff, and the Rams stole him from me.
They absolutely did. And John, as Sashi Brown has said on multiple occasions when he was initially, you know, appointed the EVP of the Cleveland Browns and even recently speaking to the media, it's accumulating a young, productive talent nucleus here in Cleveland. What are the positions that you believe we have to walk away with multiple young players that project very well into the future here in Cleveland?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, just about everything's needed. I mean, you know, when you look at the top players, I mean, there's Joe Thomas and Joel Petonio and a good tight end and Gary Barnidge and cornerback and Joe Hayden, but everything else is up for grabs. I mean, particularly, you know, with letting some young players go like Mitchell Schwartz and Tashaun Gibson and, you know, Alex Mack's not a youngest player, but he was one of the best centers in the league. And so, you know, those spots have to be replaced. But what you hope then is that, I mean, when you look at, you know, safety and safety and center and stuff like that, you know, the pass rushing things I think have to be, you know, a high priority, trying to get guys in the front seven of the defense, trying to make sure there's going to be enough skilled players to make it work. I mean, you know, there's a lot of draft choices to take care of a lot of needs, but what you hope is that you get the quality to go with attached to those draft choices.
Yeah, and you're right, and this is a team that needs some real foundation pieces, which goes back to the original conundrum. Is there somebody at eight that they believe can be a foundation piece, but is that person at a position that the Browns feel is worthy of a pick that early? Because, you know, if it is a running back, it would surprise me. And I think to your point as well about the right tackle being an offensive tackle, if they value that position a lot, Mitchell Schwartz doesn't walk out the door for signing a deal less than $7 million a year. Now, the Browns may have offered him $7 million and then it got taken back or whatever may have happened there, but that becomes a bigger priority than it clearly was this offseason.
Right, because, I mean, now these parts have to be replaced to try to make the team better. And, of course, you know, you hopefully don't want to go through what – remember, was it right after the playoff year, the wild card playoff year,
uh-huh.
You know, Butch Davis pretty much cut, you know, the top six guys – they cut like six guys, even the long snapper, and all you saw was the replacements coming in at those same positions. And
sure.
You noticed that that didn't get the team to be any better.
Right, right. And certainly the Browns are a team that needs to get better. Talking with John Clay, the professor from ESPN. He will be presiding or co-hosting with their draft coverage on ESPN Radio starting tomorrow at 7, Friday at 6:30. John, what do you make of the late kind of push for Connor Cook and Christian Hackenberg, guys that you weren't hearing much about for a while, and then all of a sudden the last couple of days, people are saying they might potentially both go in the first round, which certainly would be a big surprise to me.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I mean, I think the only three quarterbacks are going to go in the first round, two at the top and Paxton Lynch. I don't buy the idea. Now, again, you know that the Denver Broncos at 31 have to be looking at quarterbacks, but, you know, look at the so many options that they have. You know, they can trade a pick to get Sam Bradford. They can maybe see if they can pry A.J. McCarron out of Cincinnati or Mike Glennon out of Tampa Bay, or they can sign Bobby Hoyer, or they can draft Dak Prescott, or maybe see if there's another quarterback like Connor Cook. I'm not sold that Denver at 31 is going to take a quarterback, and if they don't, I don't see anybody else. So, like in the case of Hackenberg, I mean, his mechanics right now have not improved. I mean, maybe he's worked out well in the off season, but mechanically he's not there. And then Connor Cook, you know, he's probably the next guy after Paxton Lynch, but I'm not sold it'll be in the first round. So I don't necessarily buy the five first-rounders. I think the ratings are what they are, and both have second-round ratings.
Who is the one guy that is surprising you the most in terms of the buzz that maybe it isn't out there in the public, but is a guy that is rising up that you think will go much earlier than maybe the public expects in this draft?
See, a lot of it isn't rising, because a lot of it is, you know, just basically leaks from teams that now are, you know, kind of readjusting to what, you know, all the people who do mock drafts are. So, you know, I mean, I would have to think in most cases, you know, because not a lot gets done after the combine. I mean, you know, fortunately, a lot of guys run at the combine, so you know their times and you know their workouts, you know that, and you get a chance to talk to them. So the ratings, I don't think, go up as much, but we find out so much more of the ratings. So, you know, I would say, you know, guys, because again, this is a guy that I had at 17. He's still at about 17, and that's Atlanta taking Darren Lee because he's one of the faster linebackers. You can maybe say the one guy that has risen because of his speed and a non-speed wide receiver draft is Cozy Coleman out of Baylor. That could be one guy that you could say that's risen a little bit. But
Wilhelm's favorite. He loves Coleman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and I think that he probably will go to the Houston Texans at number 22. So, yeah, I think a lot of it is just, you know, we're basically information is catching up to the mock drafts, and that's what gets guys rising. But in this draft, I mean, again, I don't know if there's many guys that really have risen a lot.
I think that's a good point. One guy who might potentially fall, and I know you got to go, so we'll let you go after this and appreciate all the time, Miles Jack. Does he stay in the top 10, or does he have that fall as team get concerned when it's actually their time to put that card in and link their future to Miles Jack?
No, I think he stays in the top 7. I can't see him getting – I mean, if Jalen Ramsey is there for Jacksonville, they probably take him over Miles Jack. But if that's the case, then depending on the offensive tackle situation for Baltimore, they could take him at 6, or he could go to San Francisco at 7. So, you know, DeForest Buckner will play into that role too, because I think Buckner could go to San Francisco. But in the end, I don't see him falling lower than 7.
Will certainly be interesting. And finally, the time for speculation will be over and this draft will happen tomorrow night. John Clayton will have you covered on ESPN Radio tomorrow night at 7, Friday at 6:30. You can follow him on Twitter at John Clayton, at Clayton ESPN. John, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, the professor right there. Gotta wonder, was he wearing the Slayer shirt? That's what some of our Twitter followers were wondering. I don't care. Great information there for the Browns. And it sounds there's so much smoke about the Browns moving from 8 to 13 if Ezekiel Elliott's on the board that it makes you wonder if it'll actually happen. You know what I mean, Gibbs? Like, at some point, it's almost too preordained for it to actually happen. Do you think?
I would agree. Again, it goes back to what I said yesterday. I think we're just... It's at the point now where we're just kind of grasping at straws, that we're starting to overthink everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be surprised tomorrow if everything lines up and goes chalk until the Browns pick at 8. I mean, again, the Cowboys pick at 4 and the Browns pick at 8 are going to be the two most intriguing picks in the top 10.
And San Diego, too, because I think what San Diego does ties into what the Cowboys do.
I don't – yes and no. I mean, I think there's enough names linked to the Cowboys.
If they take Ramsey, it gets very interesting. If Ramsey goes 3
to the Chargers,
then it gets interesting because then it's truly going to be Bosa or Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, and then is one of those guys free-falling?
I mean, the one question of them's going to make it to 8.
Or is Baltimore – going to step in? I mean, we keep hearing Baltimore going to take offensive linemen. They're going to go offensive
rusher.
Linemen.
That's what I've heard a
lot
about.
But now, you know, do they go pass rusher? And then if they go pass rusher, well, that means one of those big tackles is Tunsil going to free fall.
Okay. Stop.
I'm just saying.
No.
I'm just – if Tunsil falls to eight, I think Tennessee is burning up the hotline to get to back to number eight.
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. All right, 216-578-050. Final thoughts here as we wrap up CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Wrapping it up here on the final show before draft day. Nathan's Gerb, Matt Wilhelm. Browns update, it says, would you take Leonte Crew in the second or third round? I'd take him in the second, but I think you can go back a little bit in the second and take him. And then certainly in the third, I would jump all over Leonte Crew there at pick 65 for the Cleveland Browns. Interesting stuff. Again, it seems that people are pretty certain of who's going to be in the top seven. It sounds like the Browns are going to be picking from Jack Elliott, potentially Bosa, Buckner, but those four seem to be the guys that one of them
Non-tackle.
I'm not even talking about them. One or two of them will be on the board for
just
the Browns
love how
at number
he
eight.
Just ignores it.
Huh?
You can't just ignore it.
What?
The offensive lineman portion of the program.
I'm ignoring it. At pick eight, it's dead to me. That's like, it's over.
I think you need to prepare yourself just for the possibility.
Nope. I'll have to deal with it then. That's not how I live my life. I'm going to stay focused. I'm glasses.
Hey, Matt, I'll leave that problem to you tomorrow night. All the radio network.
Yeah. I won't have to comment on it live. That's one of the beautiful things. If that's what happens, I'll have a full night to deal with it.
What's funny is tomorrow night on the Browns radio network, there's a high likelihood that if we do trade back, the trade will be made while we're not on the air.
That could all change, by the way, I was told.
Okay.
That there could be extended coverage coming down the pipe for you guys.
Tomorrow. Gotcha. Good. Hey, whatever, man.
There should be.
My wife knows it's draft weekend.
Draft weekend.
That's exactly. Kissed my lady this morning. I said, I'll see you Sunday.
It's not for me. It's see you Tuesday.
Well, now apparently the.
That's why you make the $8.05
moving that too. The recap show.
Monday
to Tuesday.
To Tuesday.
Because Monday night's the Cavs playoff game, so it doesn't make sense to go ahead.
Got it.
All right. All right,
we'll wrap when we're ready.
We want to thank Matt Miller for being with us. We want to thank John Clayton for being with us. And more importantly, we want to thank all of you for being with us. Tomorrow, it is go time. Tomorrow, it is real. Tomorrow is the day that the future of the Cleveland Browns changes for the better. We hope. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNO.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.